here this morning. Amen. It's always great to be in the presence of God's people. Amen. And just to come and to magnify him. Even if I wasn't speaking, I'd still be excited about being here, you know? Amen. Because he's here. Amen. And his people are here. Amen. And that's why I just love being amongst the saints. Amen. And, you know, and I don't take it for granted to be here again. Amen. The thing is, none of us knows what tomorrow holds. And I have no guarantee of making home today. So I thank him in every moment. Thank you, Jason, for your obedience. Even though you struggle with him like most of us. Amen. But thank you. Because truly, you know, even that song ministered to my heart this morning. So God knows what he's doing. Amen. And he said, just move yourself out the way. Sometimes, you know, as I listen to the song, say, the word I is in there so many times. You know, moving it over. And sometimes what we need to move out the way is us. Amen. Get me out the way so you can have your way, Lord, in me, in this place. You know, because truly he wants to do it. Amen. And I believe that he's already working on us for our good. Amen. Every moment, I believe, is a gift from God. Amen. It was just thinking, remembering the word that was spoken on last Sunday by Pastor Linda, enough. You know, talking about finding contentment in a season where we want more. You know, more, more, more. And I think about the movie, Oliver, is it called? Oliver. You know, where he comes with the bowl and after he eats this little bit of that they gave him. And he tells them, more, sir. But the whole place is quiet. Like, what's he doing? Don't nobody get out there and see. Don't nobody ask for more. I dare you to ask God for more. Amen. And with that, a devil dog there, as they say, to give God more. Amen. Because it's not always about what we can do for he can do for us. But it's more over what we can do for him. You know, sometimes we got to stop looking to be accommodated by people and everything around us and make up our mind we want to become accommodating first to God and then to others. And you'd be amazed how much return you begin to see. But if you just want to be accommodated all the time, me, 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 it's time to get off the throne of your life and let God take that throne. Amen. Because truly he is a good God. Amen. And it's true that God delights in blessing his people. That's the kind of God we serve. I heard Ajahnay talking this morning. Amen. Sharing how that she's the favorite. Amen. Daddy's girl. But if she's daddy's girl, I'm daddy's boy. Right? Hey. But at the same time, I must realize that, you know, as I say, he delights in blessing his people. But don't get it twisted. Right? Just because he delights don't mean that you're right. Amen? And it don't mean that I'm deserving of all the blessings of God. Because there's nothing I could do to deserve the blessings of God. Amen? So we need to stop and say, you know what? I thank him, amen. Because why? Amen. Just tell somebody next to you, and this includes me too, God don't owe you nothing. Nothing. He gave you life, and you didn't even earn that. Amen. Sometimes we run around like, God, you got to do this for me, that for me. You know, as I was working on this message, and just thinking about it, because I meditate on it, and I'm thinking about how would you feel if you went to help somebody who didn't have nothing? You know, the old saying, go, they didn't have a pot to pee in.
Or a window.
To look out of. Come on. They didn't have nothing. My neck, two nickels to rub together. Huh? See, they say the same thing, right? So y'all know what I'm talking about. And you go and you lavish upon them. You pick them up. Amen. Clean them up. Give them clothes. And let them move into your house. And feed them. And then they got the audacity to get mad because you're not giving them what they want to eat. They mad because you didn't put them in the master bedroom. They mad because you leave the house sometime without telling them. Your house that they living in scot-free. I can see some of y'all right now. They would be out, done. And you see y'all feeling it, but I want you to flip it. How do you think God feel when we do the same thing to him? He brought us into his kingdom when we had no way out, couldn't help ourselves. And then we got the audacity, the gumption,
yeah,
the nerve. Come on, y'all help me preach this thing. To treat him the same way, be mad because he didn't do things the way you thought he should do it, when you thought he should do it, how you thought he should do it. Didn't give you exactly what you wanted. Amen. Made you wait. Imagine that. Huh?
You know,
come on. How do you think God feels when we become so arrogant in our salvation, like we could save ourselves? How do you think he feels? And I just begin to think about, you know, even as she was touching on it on last week, I'm sitting there, I'm like, and then just, is he enough? If God never do another thing for you, you know, I believe at the end of the book of John, it's you know, those kind of things. If he'd never do another thing, would it be enough? Or would you quit serving him because he stopped serving you? As though he has the responsibility to serve us. Help us, Lord. Sometimes we forget which one's the God. Amen. I just want to submit to you this morning that you've been saved by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You are evidence of a miracle. Sometimes we're looking for a miracle. Every time you look in the mirror, you're looking at a miracle, child of God. Every day he gives you is a miracle. Amen. Because you think about this for just a second. I ain't even got to my notes real. But this, he allows you to breathe every breath. Right? Yeah. My mind just goes in different places. But I didn't even think about the fact that we don't make ourselves breathe. It's automatic because he set it up for you. You don't worry about, you know, your heart beating because he set the pace. And even when the pace gets off, he's the one that can fix it. It's all in his hands, amen. It's all a miracle, amen. Even, you know, I think about as we were, in Bible study this past week, talking about how our lives should be evidence of God's kingdom in the earth. Amen. But what we want is people to see evidence of God moving in our life. That's kind of backward. You say, I'm blessed because I got this, that, and the third. No, you blessed because you got God, period. Amen. It ain't what you got. It's who got you that makes you blessed. Amen. And see, like I said, sometimes we get it twisted and we gotta pause for a minute and get this thing back in order. Amen. It's not you that's doing so great, it's him that's doing great in you. through you and for you. That's it. You know, I just want to add that you, as a child of God, evidence that he performed the miracle that no one else could perform in the world. No one else could do it. And I thank him. Because I think about my life and the messes that I was making in my life. Whew. It took a God to save me from me. Amen. The way I wrote, right I was going, I ended up in dead or in the grave or in prison. Or, you know, I'd end up anywhere but in God's house. But it was his grace and his mercy, his love, his him seeking me. Because I sure wasn't seeking him. You know, I mean, I'm just talking about me. I don't know about y'all. But it was God, amen, that worked the miracle and brought salvation into my life. Sometimes I say he chased me down because I was running. Well, I'm glad he's faster than me. Amen. Every breath is miraculous, especially for those. Amen. See, we could have been dead, but God said, not yet. Have grace, amen. Let the grace of God work, the grace of God that saved us again and again from ourselves over and over and over again. Our accidents, our foolishness, our mistakes, our choices, our decisions. You can't get there on your own, friend. I can't get there. Can't no man get there on his own. Amen. I just want to read this passage to you coming out of Matthew, the 19th chapter. Amen. Verse 24 to 26. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And sometimes someone might be saying, well, that's talking about a rich man. I ain't rich. If we compare, I would say about any one of our condition in this church to the condition of the majority of people on this planet, you would know how rich you are. See, we say, I'm not rich in comparison to others in our category. But let me take you to some of the third world countries and the undeveloped nations, amen, around the world, amen, and set you in their circumstances. And you will begin to realize real quick, I am blessed. I am rich. Amen. I got more than, you know what? What we call middle class, they call high class. A lot of people would trade your condition to be in. So I look at him and say, who then can be saved? In the message, I like the way it says it in the message. Let me tell you, it's easier to gallop a camel through the needle's eye than for the rich to enter God's kingdom. Why is he picking on that word rich? Because he said, when you got so much, you don't feel like you need God. And then God starts pinching on you, then you start thinking, maybe I do need it. But he's helping to see here. And when it's talking about the needle's eye, you know, oftentimes we look at the passage in research and say, well, that's talking about the little door to the side of the main gate. But it should be interpreted literally. He's talking about eye of a needle, a sewing needle. You know how hard it is sometimes just to get the thread to go through there without help? They got them little gadgets you can stick in there and pull it back through, right? But, and he talk about, and I like to say, to gallop a camel. You can't even see the needle, right? And he said his disciples were staggered. Then who has any chance at all? Jesus looked hard at them and said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Zero. None. No chance at all doing it by yourself. I like that because it's true. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Ooh, now see, which side you want to be on, Miss Vera? I want to be on God's side, right? I'm going to let him do it. Come on now. I like that. See, you got to know that you know. Because the enemy, hey man, will sometimes get us to think, you know, we push God to the side, like the song said, I can move that over. Sometimes we want to move God over so we can handle it. I got this one, God. Oh, do you? You can do it all by yourself, man. God ain't moving like you want him to move. Or as soon as you want him to, I'm going to take over. You better sit still. I know the scripture said, be still and know that I am God. Amen. See, it's not wise to question the power and the might of a sovereign God. Amen. His word is sovereign. His ways, amen, are always good and right, even if you don't agree with them. He created everything. He sees everything. He has knowledge of everything. We don't create much. We don't see everything. And we sure enough ain't got all the knowledge we need sometime to get through the day. And we have to pick it up again on tomorrow. Amen. See, we want to understand, amen, even in this, amen, is revealed. Our inability is revealed, amen, compared to God's ability in the angel's conversation when he came to the Virgin Mary. You know, when it came time for her to be told that you are going to bear the Christ child. Amen. The incarnate Savior. Let's look at Luke 1, verses 34 to 38. He said, then said Mary unto the angel, because he done told her, you're going to bear the Savior. Amen. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, she's talking sense. This is biological sense. But God is not limited by biology. Amen? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Yes, the holy thing that became our salvation, amen. He said, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in a son in her old age. Old age means she's past childbearing, is what they say. But now that she done got pregnant. That's what you're telling them. Amen. With John the Baptist, no less. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Couldn't have no baby. But God said, there's nothing too hard for me to do. Right? He do hard things to prove who he is. Because it's not hard for him. Amen. 37 said, for with God nothing. Everybody say nothing. Yeah. Nothing shall be impossible. I love that. Again, it's showing you that in all the physical, there's nothing that God can't do. In the spiritual, there's nothing that God can't do. Amen. He said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, thy handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel depart from her. See, I said, we need to take a page out of Mary's book sometime. Exactly. According to thy word, be it unto me according to thy word. God don't need a discussion with you. All he needs is your surrender. All he needs is your obedience. All he needs is your yes so he can move. He's not coming to us for counsel. He already knows the outcome. He's just willing, will you be the one to participate? right? And if you choose not to, believe you me, he can find somebody else, even if he got to create them. So I want to speak to you this morning from the thought, the impossible made possible. The impossible made possible. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen. See, God is a perfectly holy and utterly sinless God, and we are utterly sinful and far from perfect. Far from perfect. Amen. And it's absolutely impossible for us to reach him on our own. I don't care how much you pray. You can't reach God unless he chooses to reach out to you. Now, I'm not saying don't pray. Amen. But see, we see in the scripture where it says sometimes we pray amiss. Amen. So we got to recognize even when we pray, we got to do it according to his word, according to his will. Amen. Sometimes we pray so much on our own what we want. And God said, if I gave that joker what they wanted, they turn their back on me so fast. Or they'd hurt somebody else, or they'd forget who I am, or they would think it was all about them. Amen. So, you need to wrap up your prayer with, let your will be done. Or if it be thy will, amen, because we need to align, learn how to align our prayers, amen, with his will, with his word, and not our own, because we know, amen, our will gets us in trouble. Right? But his amazing love and grace, amen, is why he reaches out to us. His desire to be in relationship with us, amen, is why, amen, we can be in relationship with him. Amen. See, he reached out when we couldn't. He got your attention, amen, when you wasn't even paying him no attention. All these things, amen, recognizing that it's because of the goodness of God, amen. See, Jesus came down and turned humanity's impossibility into a possibility. You know, I think about what happened before when he created Adam and Eve, amen, and they chose to do what they wanted to do in spite of following what he told them to do. And because of that, amen, mankind became separated from God. Amen. And then we feel in the scripture, amen, a little bit later on, he said that sin was in the heart of man. Evil and iniquity was in the heart of man. So what did God do? He cleaned house. Amen. He sent the flood, amen. And the way I like to say it, he baptized the whole world. Amen. Except for who? All right, y'all been reading your Bible. Amen. Noah and his family. Amen. Because he said, well, I don't have to start all over. I found one righteous man, even though everyone's against him. Amen. So he had to clean it up again. But he decided, next time I won't destroy everything. But so what does he do? When he draws us to himself, amen, he instructs us to be baptized individually. Just like he had to purge the world, he got to purge you. And me. Amen. It's the sign, it's the outward showing, amen, of my heart and my obedience towards him. But once that's done, sometimes we forget, well, I'm in now. What you got for me, God? Handle this, fix that, do this, do that. Rather than recognizing we're talking to a holy God. A God who couldn't. Sometimes it's hard to even wrap my mind around, and I know my mind is not big enough to do it anyway, how holy and righteous he really is. How high, as the scripture said, and lifted up he really is. How far he is from where we are. Who God really is. Amen. And so we don't understand it. So sometimes we fail to be grateful, amen, for all that he's done for us. And we tend to bring him down to our level. and talk to him like he's the stepchild and get upset with him because he didn't do it like you wanted, or he did something you didn't want him to do, or he moved in a way that you didn't understand or agree with. Amen. And when we do that, that just shows us that we really don't understand the God that we serve. Because he owes no explanation to me or you. Not God. Now, if he chooses to tell you what he's going to do, that's his decision. And he chooses to do that quite often. And I'm glad about it. But he don't have to tell us nothing. I just want you to get a picture in your mind who God is. See, sometimes we have a better, a more of a clear understanding of what it takes to reach people in high office than we understand what it takes to reach a God and give him honor that's so much higher, so much higher, so much higher than what man has to offer us. So we use the word grateful or grace, amen, and we toss it around, amen, like it has no weight. Amen. But if it had not been for the grace of God, the grace of God, we could never have made it to him. Amen. I think about being grateful. I am so grateful to God for so many things. Amen. We could be here for a long time just talking about my gratefulness. And then we start adding yours and yours and yours, and we'd be here for until he comes. If we really understand what it means to be grateful for the goodness of God and the mercy of God, and understanding, you know, how it is to have gratitude for all that he has done for us. Wow. You know, I look at that word grateful, and I want to share two acronyms for the word grateful. One corporately and one private. As we can look at the body of Christ, the first one is given redemption and transformation even for unworthy lives. Let me say that again. Given redemption and transformation for even for unworthy lives. You couldn't earn it. And then to make it personal, God redeemed a totally empty, fallen, unworthy life. That was me. Redeemed, totally empty, fallen, unworthy, yet he redeemed. Yet he saw something he could use. I believe if we would just learn to be more grateful and have more gratitude in every situation, we will see more of God's hand in our lives. And I don't care if it's good or bad, amen, to be grateful. Because of his infinite love, and he gave us what we didn't deserve, withheld from us what we did deserve, and does not have to give us what we think we deserve. So we got to get that word deserve out of our vocabulary applying to us. We deserve punishment. We deserve destruction. Amen. We deserve to be cast out be with our sinful selves. But God's grace, that sovereign God who sits up high and looks low, amen, and really don't have to be bothered with me or you. But he chooses to love us. He chooses, Ajane, to make us his favorite. When he don't have to. That's the God that we should be worshiping and lifting up. Amen. Not because he gave me a car or a house or the baby I wanted. Any of those things, amen. Because simply he died for you so you could be in relationship with him. Because he made something that was impossible, possible. Impossible for us to reach up to where he is. Amen. So he reached down to where we are. And there's no way that we could have reversed that situation. You know, I look at the image I chose, amen. We could not cross the chasm, the void, amen. I think about in the New Testament when he talks about the rich man, Lazarus, and the beggar. And when they both died and went to heaven, amen, and it says, he's just letting us know, amen, can you send someone from there? He said, there's a great gulf fixed. So that even if they wanted to come, they couldn't cross that gulf. Neither could you come here. That's where we were from God. There's no way we could reach where he was. So he had to bridge the gap for us through Jesus Christ. Don't forget, he's our Savior. He's the one that crossed the chasm and was able to reach where we were, amen, to help us to be able to stand and be who God wants us to be. So we look at the blazing holiness of God. A standard we can't even begin to reach. A God who is utterly set apart, pure, and perfect. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. This is the prophet Isaiah, man. They called him the eagle-eyed prophet, because he prophesied 740 years before Christ came. But he's prophesying. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon the temple high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, when you talk about his train, I said, y'all think, well, train, man, they didn't have no trains back then. But he's talking about his robe. You know, when you go to the wedding and the bride's got that big old dress, that beautiful dress, amen, dragging the ground, coming by. But he's talking about his train was so huge and so glorious, it filled the entire temple. Whew. Couldn't no bridesmaid handle that. Man, and he said, and above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain, or two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. This is a creature created just to worship God. Think about that. You're so holy. You're so magnificent. I got to create a creature just to worship me. Continually, day and night, night and day. My God. He said, and one cried unto another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth, you and I, are part of his glory. His glorious creation, his majesty. Amen. When you look at the trees, it's his glory. When you see the waves in the sea, it's his glory. When that fly gets on your nerves, that's part of his glory. Everything, amen, shows the glory of God. I want us to see how the bigness, the majesty of the God that we serve. He's bigger sometimes than we give him credit for. And I look at that and I say, wow. And then to experience his holiness, my God, we serve a holy God. Amen. He's so holy, he don't have to put up with no foolishness. He said in the scripture, no sin gonna enter into heaven. I'm not having it. He said, I'm not having it in this part of my kingdom, right? See, even the best we could do crumbled in the face of God. But Isaiah 6, 5 and 6 says this, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said, I'm undone. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm through. Ha. Huh. And I can read on, amen. But he lets us know, amen, that to see God. Isaiah understood the majesty and the glory and the honor. Amen. So much so that he was overwhelmed to be able to look up on God sitting on the throne. Ooh, Lord. I don't know if I can handle that. Mm-mm. I think about that song, amen. Would I even be able to sing? Would I be able to? You know? I can only imagine. I can't, you just, in our imagination ain't even enough. Amen. So I looked at that, amen. His holiness. And then the fact the holiness has a demand, right? God calls people to be holy too. So it ain't picking and choosing. It's called to be. Look what he said in 1 Peter 1:15-16. He said, but as the one who called you is holy. And he holy. In him there is no sin. There's no unrighteousness. There's no selfishness. There's none of those things, amen, because if you were selfish, we wouldn't be sitting here. Huh? He said, it's holy. You yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. All your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I didn't write this. I'm just reading this to you, right? Amen. He's not. It's not a suggestion. It's not just a recommendation, right? If you want to make it in, I recommend you do this and this and this, and you know, you should do X, Y, Z, or maybe you. No, the word "shall" leaves no room for any other choice or any other decision. The standard is not just to be better than others. That's not what he's saying. It's to be like God. Woo. That makes it humanly possible. But how can I do this? How can I be like God? How can I be holy like he's holy? And this struggle in this sinful flesh, amen, in a world going mad and crazy, and there's so many things happening, there's so many things pulling on us left and right, and everybody wants your attention. How can we be holy? We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. But I just want us to begin to see, amen, even the hopelessness of our sinfulness as men, the gap between us and God. It's a huge gap. Our condition is not just mistakers, but sinners. Without the grace of God, without the help of God, without the mercy of God. I made a mistake. No, you sinned. Don't try to sugarcoat it and cover it up. Oops. No. You sin. It's sin. Call a spade, right? Because God will. Amen. So we look at this. What does it say? Let's look at Romans 3. Amen. Look at the condition that we were in. Amen. Verses 10, 11, and 12. It says, as it is written, none is righteous, just, or truthful, I'm sorry. None. And upright and conscientious, no, not one. So if you thought you was there without God, can't do it. No one understands, no one intelligently discerns or comprehends. No one seeks out God. All have turned aside. Together they have gone wrong and have become unprofitable and worthless. No one does right, not even one. What? I said, Pastor, we was having a good time this morning until you got up. We was on our way. And I understand. I'm like, boy. Lord, what are you saying to us this morning? And in a nutshell, remember who he is. But in order for us to really honor and recognize God, we need to understand our true condition and his true sovereignty, who he is. So while we playing games and doing stuff against God's word and against his will, God is rock steady. He's not going to make concessions, exceptions, or accept excuses. None. He's going to stay holy. Y'all know how Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And that place of separation between you and me and God, amen. I don't want to be separated from God. Not that he done reached, amen, and touched my life, reached and touched your life. We don't want to be separated from him like that. We don't want to be in that place. We don't want to be in that impossible place any longer. I want to be, man, where, like he said, with God, all things are possible. Amen. So when I say I can't do it, I can't help it, no. He said, I can do all things, what? Christ. Through Christ. See, he takes away our excuses. Because once he reaches in and he fills us with his spirit, now you become able to do everything he wants for you to do. He empowers you, amen. He said, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall what? Receive what? Power. That power is not your power. That's his power. To do what he desires for you to do, to live like he desires for you to live, to rise above all these things that want to separate you and me from God. My Lord. Separate. I'm going to use the last two verses. I'm going to be done. I'm going to have to do part two next week, amen. Tell you how we got out of that condition. How things really became possible, amen, because I want us to really understand this, that God is good, amen. Even though sin will separate us, create a chasm between us and him, hallelujah. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, so we got to get out of that place. He can still hear. He can still reach us, but we got to want to be reached. We got to say, yes, Lord, we got to humble ourselves. Amen. We can't climb out of it. We can't earn it. We can't work our way, amen, and make a way across, amen, that chasm without his help. And we got a God that loves us so much, he's made a way for us. Got a God that's so holy, but yet he bowed down and reached you and me, even in the midst of our sin. You know, I think about this sometimes, and then I'm going to stop. But I think about in the middle of my sin, in the middle of your sin, he said, I'm going to save them. He said, I'm going to bring them out. He didn't wait for us to get it together. Now, I don't know about everybody in here, but he didn't wait for me to choose him. He chose me. He chose you while you were still sinning, while you were still walking the way you wanted to go, while you weren't acknowledging him at all. Amen. He chose you to draw you into his kingdom. Amen. And begin to clean you up. Amen. To make you qualified to spend eternity with him. Something impossible. But God made it possible. Something we could not do for ourselves on our own in a million years, but he did it for us. And I want us to appreciate that with every breath that we breathe. That it was God. Goodness of God. The love of God. The mercy of God. Amen. And any time it comes on my mind, you know, a thought to do anything against him, or against his word, to automatically put on brakes. Can't do it. Can't do it. He done too much. Brought us through too much. Done made so many ways that how could I even begin to think about Come too far. When you think about the deepest pit you were in. I'll say, I don't have to think about it. But he got right in there with you to bring you out, to cover you, to help you. We can't save, we can't fix ourselves. I'm going to read this last passage and we're going to stand. I want us to understand. I said we'll do part two because I got to get to part two. Amen? Ephesians 2, verse 1. We'll begin there. Because we can't fix it. We can't save ourselves. Amen? He said, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Quickened means to make alive. Amen, to bring alive, amen, to get some strength and some movement, amen. He said he quickened, amen, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. Now, he's talking about the enemy. Amen, amen. That's who we were serving. He didn't even realize it. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, when he's talking about the conversation, he's not talking about the words coming out your mouth. Never in Scripture, when you look in the original language and see the word conversation, it's talking about what you say. It's always talking about what you do, how you live. So don't think he's just worried about your words. He's worried about your life. He's concerned about your life. And we get that, amen, and walk in there. It's him. Help us, Lord. Verse 4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy. Somebody say, but God.
But God.
I was messed up, but God.
But God.
I was lost, but God.
But God.
I was on my way to hell, but God.
But God.
I didn't even know I needed help. But God, he said, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even in our mess, even when you were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's doing that. He's the one that did it. It ain't your goodness. Your knowledge, or you, sometimes we want to be the smartest one in the room. If God is still breathing, you ain't. Give it up. You don't know nothing you didn't learn. But he knew it all innately. But we look at this, amen, and we understand, amen, that God, through Christ Jesus, verse number 7, that in the ages to come, here we go, he might show his exceeding riches, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Neither is the saving or the faith of you. We are saved by the faith of the Son of God, Scripture says. And he wants us to couple our faith with his, because sometimes our faith ain't enough. I believe how the man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Said my faith needed some help. Right? Help us, Lord. And then he goes on to say, man, he said, because verse number 9, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I love that. Why? He ordained it that we should walk in his goodness. That's his his ordinance over our lives. That's he's established that. He's verified that it's possible. Tell somebody it's possible. See, dead men can't reach God. They can't reach up. They can't rescue themselves. Religion, good works, morality, self-effort all fall short. But God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy never fails, never falls short. If it had not been for him and him alone, we wouldn't have a chance. You and I would be destined for a devil's hell. And I say a devil's hell because the scripture said hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels, what the scriptures say. It was not designed for people, you know. But then it goes on to say, which is a little scary. It says that hell has, y'all been reading y'all word. Hell has enlarged herself. Why has it enlarged itself? Because it's making room for the people who won't believe God. Making room, amen, for those who choose to do it their own way. I don't need no room. My reservation's got to be somewhere else. Amen. You know, sometimes we don't like the RSVP. But I bet you better RSVP for this one. Right? You make sure my name, right? Put my name in the book. That's my RSVP. Put my name. See, I don't want to get to the door and then hold on a minute. How you spell that again? I don't want to get to the door and find out that, that my name been blotted out. What you mean? When I think about that scripture saying the names were blotted out, that means at one point, at one time, your name was there. Your name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your RSVP was verified. But then something happened. And you chose to do it your way. You chose not to believe him. You chose not to obey him. Give me that divine eraser. I don't want that. I want my name in, not just in there, but I want my name in bold print so they can't overlook it. I want it to jump off the page because I know I can't get there by myself. But if I just do what he said do, if I just line up, it's impossible for me to get it there. But he makes it possible. To get there. Only can get there through him. No man come to the Father except what? By him. Let's stand. I got to stop. We'll finish it next week if the Lord allow. If he lets us. But I want you to think, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? See, we went to Dovey's letter ceremony, and there was a bunch of kids. I don't know how many kids was on. If all three grades, amen, because she had made good grades for the last three, A, straight A's for the last three quarters. So, and you know, she's just getting started in high school. But I looked at that, and then I looked at the page, and they had three asterisks by her name. Meaning, you know, she did it in three quarters. And of all the kids on that full program, there was only seven kids that had three asterisks. I want to be like that. I want to have the asterisks. I want to have the stars. I want to have the quotation marks. I want it in bold. Well, it don't take all that. Look, don't you tell me what it don't take. Don't try to dumb it down because I don't want to be one to say I almost made it. If I'd have just made one more class, if I'd have said yes one more time, if I'd have humbled myself just a little bit more, I don't want to take no chances. Someone say, well, it don't take all that. You know what? I want to be like David when he danced out of his clothes. He said, I'll do that and more. Don't tell me what it don't take, because you don't know. I'm going to do all that I can and all that I know, and I recommend that we all have that same mindset, that we're going to do it God's way, regardless of what this world says or regardless of what the people around us are doing. They can't RSV for me. They can't do it for me. They can't do it for you. And here's the other thing that's so beautiful, is that no matter what they do, no matter how they treat you, no matter what they say about you, they can't take your name out the book. But now you can act up because of what they say, what they do, how they treat you, and allow them to get between you and God. Huh? I'm trying to help us this morning. We serve a holy God. And he wants us to be like him. And all that we do, all that we do, how we walk, how we talk, how we live, how we love. Ooh, Jesus. I got to stop. God is so good. Think about, you know, Scripture says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed. And I think about it, that, you know, in this life, you are they going to say it or you going to do it? He said, word or in deed. That means everything. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when I'm mistreating people, am I doing it in the name of the Lord? When I'm destroying them and, you know, killing them in my mind, am I doing it in the name of the Lord? You know how we can be. You know, when I'm praying, say, Lord, take this man David out my way. He gets on my nerves. You know, in Jesus' name. No, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. You know, he put people in your life. Maybe some of them are in your life just to be your Holy Ghost sandpaper. Just to knock off some of the rough edges you got. Because if everybody in your life made you feel good, who's going to help you work on them rough areas? Who's going to show you where you've fallen short? Who's going to show you where your nerves are still on edge? Come on. So we got to make up in our mind. This life ain't about us. It's about him, pleasing him. Amen. And when we get on the other side, now we can enjoy. You know, let me stop. Because once I get started, I'm going to just say, if you want prayer this morning, I invite you to come to the altar. If you haven't been putting God in his right place in your life, if you feel like you've been on the throne rather than letting him be on the throne, I want you to come. Because God, I'm going to say this, God loves you. God loves you. In all of our craziness, he loves us. You know, and you know why he went to the cross? Because he knew we were messed up. So don't feel bad. He went to the cross, amen, because he knew that we needed saving. And he knew we couldn't do it on our own. So he said, I will be the sacrifice. I will take on the punishment. I will die for them so that they can be in relationship. He took it all on himself. All on himself. And the things that the enemy is trying to keep you in are doing, struggling with, whatever the case might be, God said, I can take it away. God said, you don't have to be guilty. You see, when the man standing before the judge and the verdict came and they said, guilty as charged, Jesus stepped in and said, I'll do the punishment. go to the cross for. That's what he did for us. And all we got to do is accept it and thank him for it and live like we appreciate it, like we understand it. And you know what? When we put forth our effort, his spirit comes along to strengthen us. When we acknowledge our weakness, he comes along to be our help. He never leaves you or forsakes you. Hallelujah. So we want to surrender these things to God this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, goodness. I hear the Lord saying, it's not your fault. I'm like, wait a minute. But he wants us to understand that it's not your fault. What is he saying? You know, we were born into a sinful nature. It's not what you chose to do, because you were born into a sinful nature. So it's the natural thing for you to do things against God. But when you come to the knowledge of the truth, when you come to what separates you from God and from sin and all those things, now you choose. See, a lot of people don't know they got a choice. They don't know they got a choice. They say, well, I can't help my. No, you can. And where you fall short, he picks up. I can do all things through Christ. I can overcome this because he loves me. And he is my help. He is my strength. So I cast it all upon him. Lord, help me. Save me. Sometimes that's all you got to say is, save me. And it's not always from the world. Sometimes it's just save me from me, from this flesh. Save me from it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you right now. And first, we want to thank you for your love, for your mercy that's everlasting. Your scriptures say your mercies are new every morning. And I thank you, Lord God, because you continue to meet our grace. You continue to meet our mercy. You continue to give us chance after chance. Every breath I breathe is another chance to draw closer to you. Another chance to make the right choice. Another chance to walk away from that thing that wants to destroy me and separate me from you. Oh, it looked good. It might smell good. It might feel good. But God, it's not as good as you. And I want to be set free and delivered. So, Father, we come to you right now. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lord, and we humbly repent before you right now. Lord, we repent, Lord, for our shortcomings. We repent, Lord, for our failures. We repent, God, for when we knew to do good, we did it not. Father, forgive us right now, Lord, for our shortcomings. And Lord, let your grace lift us out of a place, God, where the enemy was trying to keep us. Lord, we break every stronghold in the name of Jesus. Every lie, every scheme, every plot of the enemy, God, we cast down right now in your mighty name. Lord, we declare, God, your children are set free. Your children are delivered from these things, Lord, that the enemy is trying to use against them. Lord, we say it has no more power. It has no more right. It has no more ability. In the name of Jesus, we deliver each of these things from them and place them in your hands. And we thank you for it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we don't have to fall. We don't have to fail. We don't have to sin. We don't have to give in. Lord, we don't have to give up. But we hold on in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes to your good. Yes to your will and your ways. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Move right now. Meet us right there, God. By your power. By your strength. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Come on, someone needs to thank him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you right now, Lord, for meeting me right here, right now, Lord. I will never be the same, God, because of you. Not because of me, but because of you, God. Help me to get my eyes off of me and set my eyes on you. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We want you. We choose you, God. We choose you, God. We choose you. We turn a deaf ear to the enemy. We turn a deaf ear to the lies, the schemes, and the devices. We turn a deaf ear, Lord, to those things that are trying to tear us down. And we say yes to your will, God, that I will glorify you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. Hallelujah. I will live for you, God. I will follow you. I will study you, God, like never before. You get all the reverence. You get all the glory. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, or you need to commit yourself to him,